You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello and welcome along to The Punt. It's a midweek edition of The Punt. All 20 Premier League teams are in action across Tuesday and Wednesday night in some crucial games as the Premier League enters its final stretch. Sam Norris here on The Punt this week, and joining me on the line is Derek McGovern. How are you, Derek?
I'm very well, yes. Yeah. Just fighting fifth after the weekend game. Some nice results there. Principally, that Chelsea one opens up the title race. Just a glimmer, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. It's the first time in a long while, Derek, we've seen Chelsea wobble at all. They've surely still got enough of a gap, though.
Well, yes, you think so. But you know what? This what? No team wins a Premier League title without a wobble of some sort. Chelsea haven't had it. I mean, you could argue that the first couple of games of the season they wobble. But, you know, normally you'll have a game, a spell, January, February time, where the wheels come off slightly. And they haven't had it. And they're not good enough a team not to have one. And so, you know, in a way, you know, I know people are saying it was a massive shock, that, but it wasn't to me. And I, as a matter of fact, I think I gave a strong word to Palace at the weekend. So, yeah, no shock to me, that one.
Okay. And at the other end of the table, it's looking pretty bleak for the likes of Sunderland and Middlesbrough, Derek, after the weekend.
Yeah, well, you know, Sunderland, they look like they're finally going to be put out of our misery. You know, it just gets shut to them, and then let Middlesbrough join them, because they've added nothing to the party in the Premier League this season. And it's anyone from three, I think, to join them, isn't it, between Palace, Swansea and Hull. Palace maybe just done enough now, but certainly Hull and Swansea have got an awful lot, a big dog fight to come.
Yeah, definitely. And the pair of them playing reasonably well as well at the moment, so it could be an interesting battle between that pair. Let's turn our attention to the betting then surrounding the games in midweek. We'll begin with the televised fixtures and then go through one by one those games that aren't on television. We start on Tuesday evening with Manchester United taking on Everton. This is an 8 o'clock kickoff. Man United in the betting at 4-7. The draw here is 3-1. Everton are 11-2. And both sides, Derek, had a disappointing result at the weekend, and both will be desperate to bounce back.
Well, yeah, you'd suggest so. I mean, if you'd have before the weekend, I've either seen Man United at 4-7 in this fixture, I'd be opposing all day long. But what I saw from Everton in the Merseyside derby, I mean, Everton fans must be aghast. It was a shocking performance by them. I mean, for a Merseyside derby, he blooded a couple of youngsters, Ronald Koeman, and he didn't really try a leg. I mean, I mentioned at the weekend how easy the previous derby win was for Liverpool, albeit a late winner. But this was the easiest one, the easiest derby win since Gerrard's, because as soon as Liverpool went in front, you know, that was all over. United, big disappointment, a 0-0 draw at home to West Brom on Saturday. But with United, you feel as though they've still got belief that they can finish in the top four, whereas Everton, I think, they gave every indication at the weekend that they're giving up for the season. You know, certainly the selections the manager made. The big thing about this one is Paul Pogba might return for United. He's had two or three games out with injury, and he might play. Now, before the season, I don't know, what's your view on Pogba, Sam? Because before the season started, I thought this guy has got everything. He's going to be the player of the season. But he's disappointed so far, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think he's been largely disappointing. I don't think it's been all his fault. I'm not entirely sure Mourinho's deployed him in his most preferred position all of the time. That's not to say that he hasn't had chances in his preferred position, but he hasn't been able to play where he would like to play, I think, enough for Manchester United. And, of course, the price tag that comes with him, which is something Mourinho has mentioned. And again, I suppose that isn't necessarily his fault that he's cost so much money, but largely he'd have to go down as a disappointment, Derek. Especially when you compare him to, I mean, Zlatan Ibrahimovic came in on a free, and at 35 years old, we maybe might have forgiven him if he disappointed slightly, but he's played superbly this season. And when you sort of compare him to Pogba, it has to go down as a disappointment, really.
Yeah, well, he's back as well as Zlatan for this game. I mean, someone asked him what Pogba's done at Old Trafford, and I'll tell you what he's done. He's done United out of 89 million because his performance just haven't been good enough. He's been a passenger for so long that, you know, last week he was asked by a United fan what his favourite position was. He said an aisle seat. That's how long he's been a passenger for. I mean, he's still got it. I still think he's tremendous, a tremendous player, and he will come good. I'm convinced of that. But United fans are waiting a long time for it. You know what? I'm going back United at 4-7. I might. it might sound silly now because this is a team who at Old Trafford have been desperately disappointing. They've only won 6 games at home this season, which is, you know, quite shocking, isn't it, really? When you consider, I think Chelsea have won 12 at home, Tottenham have won 13 at home, United have only won 6 of 15. They don't win often enough. They draw too many games at Old Trafford, more than half, in fact. But I still can't forgive Everton that performance at the weekend. I think it, you know, you look at their position in the league, they're seventh, and they're going to finish seventh no matter what happens, it seems to me. And I think that's got to do to the players. So, yeah, I'm going to go for United here. United to win to nil, right, if you don't fancy the 4-7.
Okay, Manchester United then in the outright betting at 4-7. And you can take Manchester United to win to nil as well in that televised fixture then coming up on Tuesday evening. We go to the televised game then on Wednesday night now at Stamford Bridge. Chelsea taking on Manchester City, 7-5 for Chelsea here. 23-10 about the draw, 21-10 for Manchester City. We mentioned Chelsea briefly a little bit earlier on, Derek. Obviously, they did have their little wobble at the weekend. Manchester City maybe missed an opportunity against Arsenal with only getting a draw there. I mean, there's 11 points behind Chelsea, Manchester City. So if they have any sort of fleeting hopes of the of challenging for the title, this has to be 3 points and nothing else for City.
Well, yeah, you'd have to say so. But, you know, if they get 3 points here, they're 8 points behind Chelsea. They're playing Hull at home at the weekend. There's another 3 points where Chelsea go away to Bournemouth. Okay, they should win that, but it wouldn't be the biggest surprise if they slip up. So, you know, it's not all over yet for City. You know, they should have beaten Arsenal at the weekend. You know what, I think, I know that the league table makes me sound silly here, but I think if Chelsea were to play their best and Man City were to play their best, City would win. I actually think City on their day are a better side than Chelsea. It's just that Chelsea are being remorseless. They haven't made mistakes. They haven't made the mistakes City have made. You know, I'm tempted by City here, 21-10. I think it's a decent price, and I don't think the manager will let them give up the ghost yet on the title race. I know it's a tall order for them, but Chelsea just given a sign of a wobble. I mean, that was a bad result. It was a shocking result for them, wasn't it, at the weekend? And I've said many times on this podcast, Sam, Chelsea will probably win the league, but they're not good enough to win it by 10 points. You know, they haven't been, you know, when Arsenal went through that invincible season, I don't think that gap was that far. And Arsenal, the Invincibles Arsenal, was a far better team than Chelsea's is now. I still think Chelsea have got a few problems ahead of them. And this is one of them. I'm going to go for City here. I think this game could well open up the title race again.
Okay, Man City in the betting at 21-10. You think it's been a consistency issue for Manchester City this season then?
Yeah, well, that's it. It's that and defence, isn't it? I mean, that's been their problem. Going forward, they look irresistible. But defensively, they always look like they're going to concede. They're a bit like Newcastle of the Kevin Keegan days. If you score 4, we'll score 3.
Right, yeah. I
just think, though, the way they played against Arsenal for long periods, I thought they look a far better team than Arsenal. On the day, I'd rather watch City all day long than Chelsea. Chelsea are just professional, aren't they? Mm. No, apart from Hazard, I don't think there's too much flair there. City have got it in spades, and I'm going to go for City. I'm going to give them another chance.
Okay, City 21-10 getting the vote then. Let's go back to Tuesday and look at some of the non-televised fixtures then on Tuesday. Now, starting at Vicarage Road with Watford taking on West Brom, 13-8 for Watford, 21-10 about the draw, and West Brom are in the betting at 2-1. Good points at the weekend for West Brom, and Watford beating Sunderland probably puts them safe, but this is a meeting of 8 versus 12, and two sides who probably haven't got a great deal left to play for now, Derek.
No, but you could have said that for West Brom at the weekend,
yeah,
going away
true.
To Man United, and the performance they gave was sensational. I'll tell you what the interesting thing about this fixture, Sam, is Watford's response to beating Sunderland on Saturday. They beat Sunderland, the worst team in the division by a mile, 1-0 at home with a scrappy goal. And the players gave almost an impromptu lap of honour at the end of it. It was almost as if we win this and we're safe.
Yes.
And I look at the body language of that. And, you know, as punters, you look for clues anywhere. And that was a clue for me. I think Watford might just take their foot off the gas here. I know it sounds daft because they're at home, but their home record isn't exactly brilliant. And West Brom, we know, West Brom against teams in the bottom half. I read a stat this week. They've lost only 2 of their 16 Premier League games this season against teams currently occupying the bottom 10 spots. Of those, the other 14, they've won 9 and drew 5. That is an unbelievable record for West Brom. That.
Mm.
By contrast, Watford have lost 10 of their 14 against teams in the top half, and they haven't kept a clean sheet in any of those games. You know, I've said before, the worst performances I've seen in the Premier League this season, three or four of them, they've all come from Watford. They are capable of looking like amateurs, Watford. God knows how they get out of so high in a table. That game apart against Sunderland, I've never seen them win. And yet they're, 10th or 11th or something like that. I think West Brom are good things here. I'm going to give them another go.
Okay, West Brom then are 2-1 then to get the better of Watford on Tuesday night. Another Tuesday night game coming up then from Turf Moor. Burnley are taking on Stoke. 29-24 Burnley, 21-10 about the draw. And Stoke are in the betting here at 11-5. Much has been made of Burnley's superb home form this season, Derek. They were beaten maybe fairly by Spurs at home last time out. This will be a slightly easier assignment for them. But they've gone off the boil a little bit, Burnley. It's no win for them for quite a while. Just maybe looking over the shoulder again.
Possibly, but you look how far they are. I mean, 32 points, it isn't enough with 30 games to go, but those teams below them, Hull are 27 points, the 5 points below them, Hull, in third from bottom. And to make up 5 points at this stage of the season, it's a tall order, isn't it? So, it's not plain sailing for Burnley, and they'll be disappointed that their incredible home record is faltering a little bit. But it's no disgrace to lose at home to Tottenham,
yeah,
is it? You know, this is a game much more within their compass. And Stoke were as bad as anything I've seen against Leicester at the weekend. They definitely rolled over and died. You look at where they are in the league, the question arises, what's in it for them? Not much. I mean, you know, teams have given up the ghost in Stoke's position before now at this stage of the season. I can't really go for them. And another interesting fact, in fact, I love this stat. Stoke have played 19 Premier League games away in midweek, Tuesday to Thursday. And in those 19 matches, they've got just 7 points.
Really?
I know, inexplicable, isn't it? They've lost 14 of those 19 matches, drawn 4 and won 1. So, you know, midweek doesn't agree with them. I'm going to oppose Stoke here. I just don't see them trying to leg in this, to be honest.
Okay. Burnley the play then, 29-20, or do you go down the middle?
Yeah, Burnley, you know, me, Dave Kellner, it's probably funded his Vegas holiday. but back in Burnley at home, at prices are over, you know, prices that are too long. Because the Lions seems to think, well, it's only Burnley. They can't keep winning these games at home. And until their recent wobble, they were doing. And this game against Stoke, I see no reason why they can't win this.
Okay, 29-20 then for Burnley. The final game on Tuesday night then comes from the King Power. Leicester against Sunderland. 4-9 for Leicester, 17-5 for the draw. Sunderland are 7-1. It's looking increasingly likely that Sunderland are being condemned to the Championship next season, Derek. And Leicester under Craig Shakespeare, for whatever reason, have been completely resurgent. They've won 4 on the spin now under Craig Shakespeare. And this almost looks a mismatch on paper.
Well, it does, especially the way Leicester have turned things around. Yeah, it does. I mean, Sunderland haven't been the same since they let that red beach ball leave in the street. Lots of Victor and Ichibi. They're absolutely shocking. I mean, would Sunderland be doing any worse now if I was their manager? I mean, it's a question I've asked before and no one's had the good grace to answer me. I do know, however, that I've been installed in a next Sunderland manager betting just ahead of Peter Reid. So, you know, the Lions obviously think I've got something about me. They're terrible. They're doing terrible. And, you know, you noticed David Moyes at the weekend. He was involved in a spat with a woman reporter. I don't know if you read that report.
It was
unforgivable what he said.
Reading it today, yeah.
He's not the brightest ticket, is he? You know when he went to Real Sociedad, he was asked how he felt about moving to Basque territory, and he said he didn't give a monkey's what they wore there. That's how thick he is. I can't have David Moyes when he was at Everton. I couldn't have him there at Old Trafford. He was a joke. And at Sunderland, it's incredible. That is, the job he's doing there hasn't been quizzed. You know, he seems to have been getting a free pass from the press, to be honest. Oh, it's only Sunderland, they were going to go down anyway. But under him, the football has been terrible. It looks like Jermaine Defoe might not be fit. They can't score with Jermaine Defoe. What chance have they got without? So, yeah, Leicester look nailed on certainties here.
Okay, Leicester are in the betting at 4-9 then to get the better of Sunderland on Tuesday night. And if you fancy they do it comfortably, Leicester minus a goal is in the betting at 5-4. Leicester minus 2 at 130 if you think they can inflict more misery on David Moyes' side. We go to the non-televised games now on Wednesday, starting with a massive fixture coming up at the KC. Hull versus Middlesbrough, 21-20 for Hull here. The draw is 11-5. Borough are 16-5. It's probably almost a big... I mean, it's 18th versus 19th, Derek. It's a six-pointer, of course, but it's almost bigger for Hull this game because their chances of survival look a lot better than Boroughs, and this is a massive opportunity for them to get 3 points against a side who just don't score enough goals. It's as simple as that, Borough.
Well, that's it. But there was a difference, wasn't it? That 0-0 draw at Swansea, that Boroughs goal. There was a difference in the way they set up. When Boroughs away from home, you know generally it's going to end up Boroughs nil, and it's been like that for much of the season. But they did attack against Swansea. I mean, they did have a couple of goals in, and they might even have stole a winner late on in the last couple of minutes. You know, I think I know Hull have got a tremendous home record recently under the new manager, but I think that's a bit short for a team that's in 18th place against a team that's 19th. Both sides fighting for their life. Yeah. I think Middlesbrough, you know what? I don't think Middlesbrough are one of the three worst teams in the league.
Really?
I think they're one of the three dullest teams. But actually, you know, I still can't believe that they're so far behind. We're 11 points behind Watford. And if Watford and were playing Middlesbrough on neutral ground, I'd be back. Sorry. If Watford were playing Middlesbrough on neutral ground, I'd be back in Middlesbrough. I just think Middlesbrough are overpriced here. Over 3-1 to beat Hull. It's not a hard task beating Hull, is it? Yeah. You know, it's not a hard task. I think 16-5. But a game at Middlesbrough, no, they can't fanny around looking for a draw now. You know, those days have gone. They've got to go for 3 points. You may as well lose a draw now, the position they're in.
Yeah.
They are going to attack. And I'm prepared to back them. I'm at 16-5. I think it's too big.
Okay, 16-5 then for Boroughs. Just conversely then, Derek, what do you think come the end of the season will be the fate of these two sides, Hull and Boroughs?
Well, Boroughs' Achilles heel obviously is scoring. You know, if they had a Lukaku, they're not going to get a Lukaku. But if they had a recognised, even at Jermaine Defoe,
for instance,
you know, they'd be a lot higher in the league. They'd probably be where West Ham are now. I sincerely believe that because they're not a bad side. I think they've just been handicapped by the cautious approach from the previous manager. Under the new boss, things are looking as though changing a little bit. So yeah, I mean, I've said that they'll probably go down with Sunderland because they're 4 points adrift of Hull, but they have got a game in hand. If they win this fixture, they're 1 point behind with a game in hand. And Swansea are within clawing back distance. So they could get out of it, they could get out of it.
Okay, let's move on to Arsenal taking on West Ham then. 2-5 for Arsenal in this one, 4-1 about the draw, and West Ham are in the betting at 7-1. The Hammers are dropping like a stone, Derek. They've lost their last four in succession, but the atmosphere surrounding Arsenal at the moment is, toxic would be a bit of an understatement. Fans fighting amongst themselves at the weekend. I don't know if you saw any of that. It's not a great time to be an Arsenal fan, but West Ham badly out of form.
Yeah, they are. They're easy to beat, West Ham, now, aren't they? Even when they're going ahead, they're still getting pegged back, and they're getting back pegged back by Hull, not one of the big teams. I suppose if you were an Arsenal fan and you were fearing the worst, they're not going to finish in the top four this season. There were glimmers of hope in that performance against City at the weekend. You know, they came back twice from behind. There was an element of fight there. But I just think this is the worst Arsenal team for a long, long time. The further away from winning the league than they've ever been under Arsene Wenger. And so why are his fans, his supporters, saying he should keep the job? I mean, that fact alone should mean he's gone at the end of the season. Whether he will be, I don't know. He's paying the price, isn't he, for not signing a decent centre-back?
Yes.
Which is ironic, since the reason he didn't sign a centre-back is that he wouldn't consider paying the price. I mean, he thinks Arsenal's money is his own, and on £8 million a year, most of it is. I don't know what to think about this game. You know, I got West Ham at 7-1. West Ham are a better team away from home, aren't they? I mean, you know, playing against the big teams at London Stadium does them no favours. 7-1 against an Arsenal side that aren't convincing anybody. You know what? I'm going to give West Ham another go. I'd rather be on them. And you know, if I back West Ham at 7-1 and they lose money, okay, fair dues. If I back Arsenal at 2-5 and I lose money, I'll be kicking myself for being such a fool to be taking those odds. As a layer, I'd much rather lay Arsenal at 2-5 than West Ham at 7-1.
Yeah, I know what you mean. West Ham then in the betting at 7-1. Do you think that there's a possibility, Derek, that if Arsenal don't qualify for the Champions League this season, it will improve their title chances next year, as we've seen with Chelsea this season? They've had no European football as a distraction, as a means to tire out the players. Do you think that there might the potential lights at the end of the tunnel. If Arsenal don't make the top four, is it could boost their title chances next year?
Well, if they don't make the top four, they'll almost certainly be in the Europa League. So probably no. They need to have no European engagements anyway. And generally, come around about February, Arsenal have no European engagements anyway. They're normally out by then.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's, you know, the reason Chelsea have thrived is that they've had nothing in Europe, nothing. And Liverpool, a couple of seasons ago, when they finished second, you know, they were the same as well. So, yeah, I mean, being in the Champions League or being in the Europa League, in my eyes, you know, it's what's the lesser of two evils? I'm not sure there is one.
Right. Okay. We go to Swansea versus Tottenham now then at the Liberty. Swansea are 4-1. It's 14-5 about the draw. And Spurs are in the betting at 8-11. This is a game featuring second versus fourth bottom. Both sides obviously desperate for the points here, Derek, for different reasons. Spurs have won their last four games in succession. Swansea, they huffed and puffed a lot against Borough. And we're badly missing Fernando Llorente, I think. If he comes back, I give them some sort of a squeak here. But without him, it's going to be a very, very tall order to beat one of the best sides in the league.
Yeah, and sides full of confidence. And even without Harry Kane, you know, they're scoring goals and winning games easily. I mean, going to Burnley, you know, that wasn't an easy task for them. But they basically give Burnley a lesson, pull their pants down and smack their behind, really.
Yeah.
And why shouldn't they do that against Swansea, who are not as good as Burnley? I think they will. I think 8-11. And, you know, it's almost like the old days when you think, Tottenham, odds on away from home. Not on your life. Nowadays, okay, their away record is not great. But against teams like this now, with the business end of the season, they don't seem to be making mistakes. They're almost like Chelsea going to away from home, and, you know, and picking up 3 points without playing particularly brilliantly, but just doing a professional job. I think 8-11 is a gift, to be honest.
Swansea, as I mentioned there, Derek, how badly do you feel they are missing Fernando Llorente? They seem to put a lot. I think they made 31 crosses into the box on Saturday, and without his presence there to get on the end of them, they did look a little bit like they were going to struggle to score without him.
Yeah, they did. I thought, you know, people were saying they were a better side against Middlesbrough, but I was watching that, and apart from like an 8-minute spell near the end when it was all hands to the pump, I never thought Middlesbrough were ever threatened. You know, because I'd backed Middlesbrough, and I thought, they're not going to concede here. If we sneak one at the end, I'm going to pay out here. I mean, Middlesbrough almost did. So, no, I don't. Every time I watch Swansea, I think if you stop Sigurdsson, I don't think they're a threat. I mean, Llorente's got to be weighed in with a few, but he's a bit like the Lukaku's and the Benteke's and Llorente's, isn't he? You know, it's all about service. He's not going to win a game on his own. And they're the players I like, the fantasy players. I don't see Llorente as one of them.
Okay. That's the Swansea Spurs game taken care of. Two more to come. Then we go to Southampton versus Crystal Palace. First of all, 4-5 about Southampton, 5-2 the draw, and Palace in the betting at 4-1. He looks as though he's going to do it again, Sam Allardyce. He's transformed Crystal Palace, really. When he first went there, it didn't start as well as he would have liked, but they've now won four on the spin and look to be pulling themselves clear of that relegation battle. And Southampton, again, are one of those sides who are in a position where they've got pretty much nothing to play for, Derek.
Exactly. You know, that result, I'm surprised Palace is so big after that result against Chelsea. Maybe the Lays think, well, you know, Palace, we've done the hard part, now we can ease off a bit. But they've only got 31 points. They're still only 4 points off the drop, you know, with 8 games to go. So they can't ease up. And this is too big a price, isn't it?
I mean, yes.
Every time I do this podcast, Sam, Southampton are underpriced. I mean, against Bournemouth at the weekend, they were like odds on. And I thought, you know, I'd have laid that all day long. And I'll do the same as well. I just don't, you know, since I've seen it many, many times over the seasons. When a team gets to the Carling Cup final or whatever it's called nowadays, and whether they win or lose, if they're safe in the league, the form generally goes off a cliff. And that's pretty much happened to Southampton. I'd be laying them all day long, odds on.
Okay, going for Palace then at 4-1, or do you prefer the draw?
Yeah, two right. No, Palace at 4-1 is a massive price. A team banging form against a team out of form. A team with something to play for against a team with nothing to play for. And they're 4-1. It's a ridiculous price. I've said before, who's your odds compiler? 4-2L. Because it just doesn't make sense. It does not make sense, Southampton's odds all season long.
Okay, Crystal Palace, the selection there then at 4-1. Got to say, definitely agree with you there. Palace look a massive price indeed. The final game then of the midweek Premier League round is Liverpool versus Bournemouth. 4-11 about Liverpool. 4-1 the draw, and Bournemouth at 8-1. Liverpool obviously arriving here fresh after victory against Everton in the Merseyside derby. And they looked very good value for that victory as well, Derek.
They did. They were excellent. Absolutely excellent. I thought Everton were a shade overpriced going into that. But Liverpool just marmalised them. And they can do that, Liverpool. On their day, they can absolutely hammer anybody. Mm. You know, Chelsea's, Tottenham's, Man City's, Man United's, anybody. It's in fixtures like these where they've slipped up. But in recent weeks, they seem to have got second wind. You know, the sad January when they fell out of the title race is behind them now. And since Sadio Mane came back from African Cup of Nations duty, Coutinho back from injury and finally shown his old form against Everton, they look something to bet on here. It's just that. It's just the nagging worry that odds on backers of Liverpool, not just this season, but over the last about 5 or 10 years, will probably be in the poorhouse. But yeah. It's basically my house, really. can you trust them at 4-11? You should be able to. But I remember what they did in the first half at Bournemouth. They looked at that game as though they could have won about 18-0 and ended up losing 4-3. Surely they can't make the same mistake against the same opponents. Liverpool could win this 5 or 6-0. But it's 4-11 Liverpool. Do you want to get involved? What I might do is go for Liverpool minus a goal, because I do think they are capable of wiping the floor with Bournemouth, because they did that to Everton, and Everton are a much better team. They've got the bit between the teeth now, Liverpool. Maybe that defeat by Chelsea, maybe it's just rekindled title hopes for Liverpool. I'm not sure, but the minus a goal is just under evens at 17 to 20, and I'll be on that.
Okay, Liverpool minus one then for Derek at 17 to 20 in the Liverpool versus Bournemouth match on Wednesday night. Do you have a nap selection for the midweek round of games, Derek?
Yeah, Palace at 4-1.
Palace at 4-1. Okay.
What's yours?
I'm gonna throw one in for Dave. I'll go for, in terms of the table, that is. I will go for Leicester minus a goal at 5-4. I think Sunderland have been pretty much done for a while, and I don't see any reason why Leicester's improved form is going to slow down against a pretty poor opponent in Sunderland. So Leicester minus a goal for me at 5-4. Double that up with Derek's Crystal Palace at 4-1, and that double pays just over 10-1.
Very nice. Very nice midweek
looks
double.
Fair. Excellent stuff. Thank you very much for your thoughts today, Derek. Enjoy the football and best of luck.
Cheers, Sam. See you soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.